Well then, Paul, we're back. Season two of Less Talking, More Running. It's been about 4 or 5 months, and the members have absolutely shouted out on a weekly basis on my social media that we need season two. So here we are, season two. New guests, more guests from the wider community in terms of North East Running. And just in terms of, we'd like to do a bit of reflection, how do you think season one did?
I thought it was fantastic, to be fair. I think, I mean, obviously it came from those questions we were doing on the Facebook page and generally just trying to keep some member engagement going during the first lockdown. And the podcast just kind of like spun on from there. But I think it was really well received. As you said, there was loads of positive feedback on our social media pages. And I think season two, meeting up with a few guests from the wider running community in the Northeast, I think it's a fantastic way to go.
Yeah, so talking about the wider community in terms of the Northeast running, we've got two lads who I think are very much taking the standards of how running clubs are run in terms of training sessions, applying modern approaches, supported by the evidence base, tailoring towards the individual and their needs and their goals. I think if you're in our running community and you've not heard of Northeast Project, then I think you've been living under a rock for the past year or so. We're lucky enough to be joined by Kieran Walker and Ben Palmer. How are you doing then, lads?
We doing well.
Hey, how are you? All right.
So, Kieran, I'll start with you, mate. What we like to do with our guests when they first come on, just kind of, if they're not aware of who you are, just kind of give you a background of your running and how you got into it and what you've done and such things like that.
Yeah, no worries. Awesome. So I've been running since the age of about 10, really. So over half my life. I'm a young kid, got involved in cross country at school, and sort of stemmed from there really. And as an early teenager, joined my first club, just like a traditional running club, which of course mostly was set up in the Northeast. And progressed quite well through the teenage years, competed in track, cross country, in road, and up and down the country, and competed at a good level, and still trying to compete at a good level and push on. My big aim is to get a GB vest in the marathon. That's my sort of target longer term. Within the next 5-10 years or so. But yeah, I've been heavily involved in athletics for a good over 10 years, really.
I've always seen your name pop up. The same as, I don't know if you would have known, Dean Newton.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm good mates with Dean Newton, so I kept an eye on him. And then you and him are doing your battles, and there's a few others chipped in there.
Yeah.
And just some of the times you do is absolutely phenomenal. So I think you're playing it down in terms of what you've done. I don't have any results up in front of me. I should have done that, really.
Yeah.
But you've hit some absolutely fantastic times. Can you just list off some of the PBs, like your 5K and your 10K?
Yeah, so over 5K, I ran 15:09. That was 2 years ago now. And 10K, I did race in lockdown, ran 30:59. But officially it's 31:13 on a measured course. Yeah, recently ran a half marathon in 109. That was in lockdown as well. So I'm actually running better in lockdown than I was. And there was loads of races going on. So yeah, that's a credit to our work, maybe, Ben. But yeah. I really enjoy cross country as well. So I always target the big cross country events, like the national cross country in the counties, try to make the Northeast teams for that. That was always my favourite races, really. Yeah, that's my sort of background on that.
Fantastic. Oh, Ben, what about you, mate? Oh, sorry, Paul.
I was just going to say, I've got one of Kieran's half marathon times in front of me, just coincidentally in front of me here. The first time I think I really came across Kieran was at Red Car in September 2015, the half marathon.
Yeah.
And I got to about the 11 mile point, and there's this small kind of like young lad in his century. And I didn't know whether he was struggling or what or not, but I pulled alongside him and just about 100 metres in front of us was Des from Aycliffe Running Club. And I think I said to Kieran as I went past, come on, we'll go and catch him. And I thought, me, wise old head, shepherding youngster, we got past Des and Kieran just put the hammer down and just completely dropped me.
I remember that, Paul. I remember that well.
I came in 12:78:26. So I never forget that.
Yeah, it's a good race that, Paul. I remember it must have been my first half marathon that. So yeah, good fun.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was just shamed that day, I think.
Wise old head. So, Ben, what about you then, mate?
Yeah, so I started very young. I started around 6 or 7. And my sister, who's a couple of years older than me, she was really talented and she got into the sport. And at the time, I was one of those kids where I wanted to do absolutely everything. But I couldn't quite get into everything. I needed to focus on one specific sport. So I did a lot of cross-country runs when I was younger, year 4, year 5, year 6. Met a lot of good friends in the younger years. And same as Kieran, we moved into the traditional running club, moved to Middlesbrough Mandale at the age of 10, 11. Moved in with Martin Peavor, who was coaching me. Still coaching me now at the age of 12. And then, yeah, in the last 8 years, I've been coaching running with Middlesbrough Mandale. And I've been really lucky to meet some really fantastic friends like Joshua Allen, Joshua Cowthwaite, Philippa Stone, some really talented athletes, as well as Kieran as well. And I guess that really pushed me on through my teenage years. I did struggle with motivation through 13, 14, 15, which I don't tell many people about. I did struggle with that. And I sort of fell out of love with the sport at 15. And then 16, I came back into it through the sport, my friends. And I guess I want to sort of give something back as my age now, the age of 20. But yeah, as I say, very lucky to meet the people around me who are extremely talented. I mean, Josh Cowthwaite is running for Great Britain. Mm. You know, Kieran's gone for a GB vest and half marathon. Josh Allen's got a good bronze medal in the Commonwealth Games youth competitions. So some very, very talented athletes around me, which is a privilege to train with.
That's excellent. So what type of events do you focus on then, Ben?
So I'm more of a track runner myself, especially at the age of 17, 18. Decided I want to do a lot more track competitions. And recently last year I got myself a 4.2. I'm still targeting that sub 4, but not quite there yet. And then now at the moment I've sort of shifted, to be honest. I was focusing towards 3k and 5k, and then especially through summer 2020 I struggled with a lot of injuries. And then Hallie Godfrey gave me an opportunity to do some aquathlon training to basically get myself into that, because I was swimming at the time. I obviously couldn't run. And we were going for the European Championships and World Championships in Amsterdam. It'll be this year, but as we were talking about it next year, in 2021. And my motivation sort of switched towards that, really. Not just necessarily running based, but also getting swimming and hopefully getting a medal and possibly winning the European Championships next year. So I've had that sort of short-term switch in the last couple of months, which really affected me. But yeah, track running was my main bet. I did a couple of cross-country races with the lads as well.
That's excellent. I've done a couple of triathlons myself, and I do find it, even though it is a lot tougher, it's more exciting, and it keeps your mind occupied in a way. It keeps thinking about different things, because I think I relate to you more, Ben, than I do with Kieran in terms of the longer distances. And I know, Paul, you know me well. You can see it, the way I train. Anything more than a 10K, I'm getting a bit bored. I'm losing focus. So,
yeah,
just in that short-term switch, Ben, how have you felt in terms of your motivation?
Yeah, it was obviously a switch for me, because obviously I've been running since the age of 6. So to be able to put two different sports together for me was quite tough at the start. I've only actually done the one race. That wasn't even a race. That was actually just me going to a pool, jumping out, getting weird looks from the locals as I'm soaking down, running down the road. but yeah, I've only actually done it once. So I needed like a 6:10 to qualify, and I got like 6:02. And then I managed to run a 17-minute 5K, which I was really happy with. But it's definitely a lot different. And I really did struggle coming out from the pool into a running position. But yeah, I think it's nice to have a different set of motivation from being able to come out the pool into a running distance. I wouldn't necessarily say I like bored of the longer distances. It's just nothing that I've necessarily tried to bump up my mileage. I've done that previous years and I've got injured. But me and Kieran are really focused on that. And I think that's what's good with me and Kieran, is that, yeah, we're both different in terms of our ability, and we're both different in terms of our training. But ultimately, it's all about helping each other. And especially over this lockdown, we've really, really benefited. I mean, we both ran 10K PBs.
We've both pushed on, to be fair, haven't we, Ben?
We're
fitter now than we were before lockdown and before COVID stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that's a credit to the NEP community as well, the people around us.
100%. It's really good. It just shows that no matter what ability you are, you can be motivated by absolutely anyone. And I've been motivated by hundreds of people, whether that's, you know, you're going to run your first 5K or you want a 5K world record for extreme sake. Motivated by a lot of people.
Oh, 100%. And talking about, well, let's move on to NEP then. Kieran, you started it, didn't you? So what was your thinking behind it then?
So I just love the sport and I wanted to do more of it within the day. And I wanted to start coaching from an early age. I've always took an interest in the science of running and improving training methods. Been obsessed with reading people's like training diaries and things like that from a kid. I think I've probably read every running book going at the moment. I love the whole science aspect. I just wanted to start coaching people around me, really. The first session started with five people in Harvey Park in Sedgefield and stayed fairly sort of small for a long time, really, because I was doing that alongside university at the time. And it only since really COVID hit in March that things have started to spiral and we changed the direction of the club, really, from just sort of the group element, like a traditional running club, into something a bit more personalised, because we could only train one-to-one. But we then built around training plans and we changed our structure, which I guess we'll talk on a lot of in this podcast. But yeah, the first year was very much just group training, friends, in one location, really, until I met Ben and we sort of started to expand in other areas as well.
So you very much started as a traditional running club.
Yeah.
In terms of the group running, you didn't move on to one-on-ones until you kind of had to adapt, really.
Absolutely, yeah. And we never really progressed massively because it was very much the same as clubs around us. We didn't adapt until we had to, basically.
Oh, it's very interesting to hear.
No, I'm very interested. I must admit, I do like Kieran's, the fact that he's reading all the running books. I mean, I like to pick up my running books and have a good flick through them. Do you have like a mentor on board as well, Kieran, like a wise, experienced coach that you can fall back on, or is it just you two? Or
it's just us two and sort of our philosophies, what we've learned through the coaches that have taught us. We've got 20 years of experience between us, only at the age of 22, which is and we've raced up and down, we've raced loads, we're both in our sides. We use our own practice, really, and our own theory behind everything we do. And it's trial and error a lot of the time. Like, with coaching so many people individually, I think first off, we sort of learn through trial and error what works for people. But I think having a more personalised structure, we can understand how people are reacting to the training much better than a group element. We can really have that conversation and that dialogue a lot better. I think that's important.
Very much so. I mean, the way I always approach it is that, sort of like different things work for different people. People have got different triggers. People have got different drives. And it's about tapping into what works for the individual rather than just relying on, you talk about the traditional club approach and it'll be a case of 12, 400 meter reps or, and everyone will do that. But, you might need something a bit more specific for individuals and things like that. And I think that's where your one-to-one coaching comes in. So I'm very interested in listening to what you're saying. I'm really keen to see how far you go, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not just the sessions itself, but it's the things around the sessions, and we can advise on recovery and build a plan in place that is progressive and thinks longer term, not just session by session as well. So, yeah.
Very much so, very much so.
You just mentioned the word there, science. I'm right in saying both of you have done degrees or doing degrees in that area, sports science?
Yeah, I haven't been, and Ben's still at the university in his third year, aren't you, Ben?
Yeah, I'm in my final year at Teesside University, so it's quite tough to fit all this stuff in as well, trying to study a dissertation and 2,000-4,000-word assignments by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, but I'm in my final year, yeah.
Are you at Teesside as well, Ben, did you say?
Well, I went to Teesside University, obviously, this is my final year, and then Kieran went to Sunderland, was it, Kieran?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
How did you find the university experience then? I know we're slightly going off topic here, but...
I don't think highly of it, I'll be honest. I wish I could go into university what I know now through the last 2 years of coach. I wish it was more practical and more out there. Definitely, because I think I've probably learned more in the last year, the last 9 months, than I have through the last 5 years, possibly. Yeah. In terms of this field, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did my undergrad in sports science injury rehab at York St John, I kind of went there just I was a bit clueless, really, not knowing what to expect, and I thought, oh, this is great. But then looking back now, and now doing my masters in physio, I'm glad I've kind of got a chance to do another degree. because I've learned how to actually do a degree and how to learn at that standard. It's very different, especially when you go straight from college, which I'm guessing you lads did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. And like you, I guess I didn't really know what I wanted to do when I was in university. I only started NEP in the third year, so in Ben's year, really. I started this from when the age Ben is now. So, yeah. You mentioned that the other day, didn't you, Ben?
I almost forget you're 2 years older than me every single day.
So, you do a lot from what you've learned for your degrees and your experience running and coaching. That you very much you love your S&C in terms of, and I'm a big fan of that, and I know Paul is as well. And you do your Zoom classes, don't you?
Yeah.
Have you always done it just over Zoom, or have you got people in and done it in front of people?
It's like since we've adapted with COVID, we only started Zoom since COVID hit. And started with street workouts actually in the street, and then it progressed to Zoom. We just wanted to do some coaching basically in lockdown, so it started with street workouts. But then we started Zoom, and I'm the regular routine on Zoom with S&C and yoga as well. We had a yoga session tonight every Friday. But people can't do their training that we give them without giving them the S&C behind it, really. Or injuries pop up and they're not strong to withstand the demands of it all. But both ourselves have had loads of injuries in the past. And it's a massive component of training. I'm sure Ben agrees with that. Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, definitely. And I think you went through your stress fracture, didn't you, Kieran, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Really horrible stress fracture that put us out for 14 weeks. And then the only thing I could do was S&C, cross training and things like that. And if you can add that on top of the running train, I think that makes it even better. And I think the modern approach, definitely looking at top athletes right now, I think you find it hard not to find anyone doing any strength and conditioning. I know in the past it was probably frowned upon to do any of that. You're probably in favour of more miles instead. I'd rather sacrifice some miles. And obviously, some people we coach have really busy work schedules and shifts and patterns and things like that. We'd rather get the rest and see in a running session sometimes.
It's interesting. Obviously, you built that over the street workout as well, which at the time was obviously a big thing with everyone being at home.
Yeah, it was good fun, that. Yeah. The only way we could coach, wasn't it?
So, when you first started, just before lockdown, like the first year you started and you started doing, has it always been called North East Project? Like as soon as you started, or did you start as a kind of a social thing, like an unofficial thing?
It started with just some group sessions, basically, so some regular group sessions in Sedgefield. And then obviously Ben got involved in Middlesbrough. And so we were sort of coaching in two areas. And then we used to do a monthly workshop where we used to travel to nice location, basically on the trails, somewhere nice on the beach. And do like a training day away, and we used to sort of combine both groups together to get to know each other. And that was sort of the building blocks of, I guess, what we've done after that.
So I just kind of want to talk about your progression, because obviously I think I'm right in saying you've recently got your affiliation with England Athletics approved, haven't you?
Yeah, that's correct.
What was kind of the process behind that, and were there any like barriers to get that affiliation?
Yeah, it took quite a long time, actually. Obviously, you need a committee around that. You need a certain amount of members, of course. We had really low membership before COVID. But having some thinking time to take a step back, especially in between March and sort of May, we could really define what we wanted to do. That's when we made the overall decision to do that, really, back then. And to think about our structure moving forward. When we did come out of the first lockdown, we had the one-to-one structure, the Zooms, the plan, the training plans in place. It was just a waiting game thing that place to approve that, really, until October. We got officially made in October. We're looking forward to getting some races, real races, to take our members to and to sort of the peak towards.
I'm just keen to know, how many members have you actually got, Kieran?
We have around 120 members.
Wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Mostly joined in the summer, really.
Did you find that you got a lot of people who discovered running whilst they were in lockdown, or is it just generally been people who have had that interest but just never had the interest of joining a club, or is it
mostly
a mixture?
If I'm being honest, it's probably people from other clubs who want to change and want more structure.
Right.
And push on, basically, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, a bit more of an individual focus rather than just the generic club approach.
Yeah. We don't get too many beginners. It tends to be people who want to really focus on improving training with a personalised touch. Yeah.
But those numbers are brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, I have to say. Very good job.
It brings its problems as well, having more people, of course, and being able to manage that many people personally, which is getting harder. But we're trying to become more efficient in lots of ways. And we need to obviously, of course, we need to build a team around that to support those members who can't see us too.
No, I've known other clubs that have kind of like rapidly expanded in very short periods of time, but not had the infrastructure in place and not had a coaching team, you know, and it maybe just then falls upon, I suppose, one or two individuals who are maybe very enthusiastic, you know. But obviously, if you want to, as a long-term strategy, you need to obviously have that team around you as well, which I'm sure, obviously, you will be building.
Yeah. And I don't think we want to have loads of members. Probably reaching our limit of what we right now can cope with and develop. We want everyone to reach their potential. And if we can't give our time, then we're not doing what we say we can do, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, that Kieran, about that, when you mentioned there. Obviously, if you get too many members, you sort of lose that personal touch. I think we're sort of getting to the point now where then maybe we might lose that bit of quality, especially as I'm slowly starting to drop back hours with the dissertation studying. Obviously, these next few months are going to be quite tough. I think for me, the most successful part of it is the athletes itself in terms of their commitment to what we're saying as well. Obviously, at the moment, we're writing towards 70 to 80 training plans every Sunday to all these members. And I think with about the social media, I mean, we post basically every single session that they do. And I think that rubs off on a lot of athletes, not just athletes in the club, but also other athletes as well, just to see how well people are doing off that personalised structure. And I'd say the last couple of months, around 20 athletes have like approached us from group sessions who've seen people improve on a plan and got involved with it. So everyone's really got behind us and vice versa. It's really been successful.
So as the club's grown in size, obviously you said you're reaching your limit. What are those challenges that present themselves? Because obviously there's just two of you. You've got to plan all the sessions, then you've got to do the sessions. And I imagine you're going to different areas of the North East and meeting up with that person to help them out and that. What are the problems that come from that, and how do you handle them?
Yeah, so right now it's very difficult with the restrictions. We're really spaced out, one-to-one coaching. Almost every time slot of the week's filled. We used to group people together in like small focus groups of 3 to 5, with similar ability, because everyone has different times they can train in the week. We try and gather everyone's availability ready for the next week or in 2 weeks in advance if we can, and then set the sessions around that. So it's a two-way thing, really, in terms of availability on training. Right now we're really spaced out, so we can't group anyone. So we're trying to run around, do all the sessions, but we're not having the time to do the admin work and the supporting people outside the sessions, which is really difficult right now. And it's not an ideal environment, really, I don't think, for coach, especially with the amount of members we've gained in the last couple of months as well. What's your thoughts, Ben, on that? How we manage it at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, at the moment, so obviously we're filling every single time slot. I mean, we're working like 9 till 8, so we're working close to 12 hours. And that's just physical contact time as well. I say we're working close to 14 hours a day. Just simply trying to fit people in, doing the admin work, sorting people out in terms of structure. Most sessions are 90 minutes, so, you know, we'll do two sessions every 90 minutes. Kieran will do it one side of the park with one individual, and I'll do the other side of the park with the individual. So that's my 90-minute sessions, and it tends to last from, as I said, 9 o'clock till 8 o'clock every single day. So you can only really fit 12 people in a day. And it's quite tough, but we recently switched to a coaching app, Final Surge, in the last couple of months, which really helped the feedback from the athlete. And that was from other people's like setups, that, really, because people were using Training Peaks and other athletes similar to our age in other parts of the country were doing a similar sort of thing. And what Kieran said about the lockdowns as well, they benefited us in terms of we were able to sit down and think about what was missing in the market and sort of, you know, create that opportunity for people to get involved with it. so they could update their activities onto Final Surge with the comments and stuff. So we already knew, we already know what the athlete's done, rather than having a 10-minute conversation every time.
Yeah.
So the feedback's a lot better. And that's sort of been a learning curve, isn't it? I mean, we're learning as we go.
Yeah. It's really useful to use technology, I think, to your advantage. I think that if we have having all the training on our app, it means it's a really good feedback loop with every athlete. And people can track their own the progress through months. And we try and do a monthly performance review with everyone as well. We just replace a hard session with a chat, basically. And that's been working quite well. I think having that constant dialogue is really good, really important for the coach.
I think your commitment's absolutely phenomenal. I really do. I think the amount of time that you're putting into these athletes is absolutely brilliant.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. And obviously at the start, I mean, we started writing training plans. Obviously, they're the massive part as part of our company with the one-to-ones and the training plans. We didn't even start doing them, really. We did cycle circuit events at the start of the year. And we got approached by a particular athlete, Lindsay Blackburn, who basically said she wanted more structure to her training. We sort of just looked at each other like, what do we do here? And at the time, we thought one training plan was tough. And we're like, oh, God, what do we do? And we used to actually write them on Excel sheets. So we used to type up the week, Monday to Sunday, personalized structure, specific zones, heart rates, paces, distances, we sort of shared the message. And then two people joined, three people joined. And it sort of just went from there, didn't it, really, Kevin?
Yeah. It's so much use for using an app than Excel.
And it all just came from that one athlete, which at the time we didn't even think of. We were like, what do we do?
We just keep adapting to an environment, don't we, I guess? Yeah, we try and find out what's not working and then improve it for the next week. Yeah, I guess that's the best way to
use it. Now we do it week in, week out, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Every Sunday we have a review, don't we? We think, right, what's worked well, what hasn't worked well? Right, next this week we're going to change this.
Yeah, well, Sunday is one of the toughest days, to be honest, because obviously we wake up at like 10 o'clock, we do our long run, whether that's 12 miles, 14 miles, 16 miles, and we get home, have some tea, and then we do like a weekly review on a video, so we'll spend like 10 to 15 minutes basically reviewing the week, mentioning specific athletes who've done well, and then we start at 2 o'clock and we finish at around 1 o'clock at night, writing everyone's plans.
More,
So we spend around 11 hours on a Sunday just writing plans. It's roughly around half an hour, 20 minutes per plan. So we do spend a lot of time in every athlete.
Yeah.
You clearly put more hours in than usual working, like the standard working week.
Yeah.
So how do you cope just as individuals? Because obviously you've got your own training session, you need to get your own, so you need to look after yourself as well.
Yeah. So I think right now these restrictions are killing us. But if we can get back to some group work, we can factor in more time. But yeah, we're not getting great sleep. We are fitting our training because we try and make gaps, or we run with a particular athlete. We are still progressing as athletes. And we use Zoom sessions, of course, for our own S&C, and we get Sunday for a nice long run. So it does work out, although it is quite intense.
That's a good point, that. We try to fit our easy runs and our steady runs with other people's hard sessions. And that really works out really well, because not only you get to run with the athlete, but you also get your own running.
Yeah.
But we used to, back before the lockdown, when group sessions out and stuff, we used to train on a Tuesday, Thursday, past 6 o'clock. That was our time. No one could take that time past Zoom. We used to just concentrate our own training. But as this lockdown came, it sort of mixed around, didn't it, Kieran?
But we are running faster than ever. I know you're a bit injured at the moment, Ben, but you know, we PB'd over every distance this year, end of last year. So I think all the miles definitely make a difference to me. Some days I'm getting 40 miles in.
We're both averaging like 25 miles a day, and I remember that 10k was it November, Kieran?
Yeah,
November 10k, and we both felt absolutely awful because we just did so many miles in the week, and we both PB'd, so there must be definite correlation between coaching miles and performance.
Our quality sessions aren't as good as we have been, but the amount of miles we're doing,
there's no hiding that.
The food bill's high.
Oh, God, yes. I should be an ambassador for Morrison's. We take out the ones, don't we?
I just want to touch on the training sessions. You kind of mentioned there with heart rate and training zones. What other kind of factors go into planning a training session for an individual? I know, Paul, you have a keen interest on this.
No, I was just saying I'm very keen. I mean, I work with sort of like, you know, maybe two or three individuals, and I'll maybe try and get in a couple of sessions with them each week and so I can touch base and things like that. But I'm always keen to hear what other people are doing. I tend to think, you know, it's if you share good practice, it's great. So I'm very keen to hear what you guys do.
Yeah. So we try and polarize the sessions. Mixture of, obviously, you've got the key elements like intervals, special work, and easy runs, repetitions, long runs, and all that. And we try and progress elements throughout phases. We look at what people's targeting. To the moment, people don't have races to target, so we're making our own virtual stuff. And we've got a 5K tomorrow, Dream Team 5K. So many people have targeted that, or we're using that as a benchmark to start the year. We try to take a longer-term view. We're trying to think that we're going to be racing in 10, 12 weeks' time, hopefully. The odd thing, so we're using this as a bit of a base phase to work on different elements. But in terms of planning sessions, we work out everyone's paces on our app. Everyone's got a pace for easy, steady, marathon, half marathon, threshold, VO2 max repetitions, etc. Do quite a bit of work around threshold and VO2 max. I think if we had to highlight two elements that we're focusing on a lot, it's them. And we try and keep the easy days easy, I guess, and the hard days hard. And space out sessions, and with obviously recovery in between. Different people do a different amount of hard sessions a week, and there's different philosophies on that. We've almost got to adapt different philosophies for different athletes as well. It's not one philosophy fits all. Obviously, some athletes are more fast twitch orientated, so those favour the more higher intense interval sessions, and rather than the threshold work. And you've got your slow twitches like me. You know, love the miles and the tempo work, and they really feed off that. So you've got to adapt that with the athlete as well, which takes some time to get used to when starting a plan. We often find the first month, 2 months, people might not progress in the way that they want to, or they might get a few niggles, but then we tend to work it out through good communication and what works best for them. Yeah, what's your thoughts, Ben?
Yeah, it's a good point that obviously with the new software that we've just got, a lot of the data that people update in terms of Strava goes straight onto Final Search. For every activity, we can analyse people's heart rate, people's cadence. We can sort of have a look and say, you know, oh, they may be fatiguing that easy run because the heart rate's 10 beats per minute higher than what it usually is. So there's quite a lot of feedback, not just in terms of their vocally saying how they feel, but in terms of the actual physiological structure of these runs and activities. I was watching the Ingebrigtsens actually the other week about their philosophy, and they're saying how they used to take lactate threshold test after every interval, and when the threshold got above a certain pace, you used to stop. I'm not saying we're going as extreme as that, but obviously every individual athlete's got their own heart rate zones and their own paces. So I guess them two are sort of the biggest hits that we look out for, Paul.
We don't really use heart rate zones, do we? Very much. It's not a big fact because we don't have heart rate monitors. We don't really like the wrist yeah. stuff.
But you're interesting to see how someone fatigued is when they might be doing the same effort 2 weeks apart, but one time the heart rate's 160 and one time it's 175. Maybe it's an over training factor, so we'll talk to the athlete about it. They'll give a feedback. We'll give our opinions on it. So, it's that constant cycle of their performance, our views, their views, and ultimately work together to get the best result for the athlete.
I think it's great that you're using technology to give feedback or to receive feedback as well. Obviously, you can make, you know, informed judgments on that basis as well. I'm also keen to know, kind of like in terms of your groups, how are they in terms of like age range? Is it more younger people? Is it just a complete spread? Because I'm very conscious when I'm working with different athletes myself. If I'm working with somebody from an older group, obviously it might be 3 or 4 days between sessions that, you know, that they can go. They need the additional recovery. Whereas I'm working with a lad in his mid-20s at the minute, where he can probably do three decently intense sessions a week. So, you know, what sort of age ranges are you working with?
Yeah, I love that question.
All ages, really, Paul. Yeah, I agree with that. I've got definite older and younger people. Myself prefers two hard sessions a week, really, in a faster one. Some people like three. That's sort of the traditional effort, isn't it? But you really got to adapt that to the age. But we train ages from 10 to 70s, really. Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to deal with that in a group session is all minutes-based intervals, isn't it? So say if you do 4-4-3-3-2-2-1-1, everyone's running the same volume, but people obviously are going to get different distances and everyone finishes together. And that's just one of the many challenges that you've got to have as a coach. I only started coaching in March and I made plenty of mistakes. But that's making me into the coach that I am now. And I'm sure that I'll still make plenty of mistakes, but it's about learning about them. And just tying back that to the university thing, what Kieran was on about, I completely agree with that, about the fact that it's all physical based, and sitting in a lecture room, for me, it just isn't beneficial. I mean, what I've learned in the last 9 months, I'm only 20, Kieran's only 22, what I've learned in the last 9 months has just been absolutely phenomenal. I don't think I'd ever learn that of to the level of what I've learned in the last 9 months compared to the 3 years that I've been at uni.
100%. I like how you're always in constant communication with your athletes, because you obviously might only see them for that 90 minutes a week or every 2 weeks, or whatever it is. But that athlete is a human being 24/7. So you've got to think about the sleep, the nutrition, the work life, the family life, all these different factors, which does, at the end of the day, affects their training and how fatigued they are. So I think that's very good that you've got set up this kind of way of back and forth. Like you're working, like you put it perfectly, you work with the athlete. You're not telling them what to do all the time. You're having that back and forth in a very constructive way, which I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I think it's a credit to both of you lads how you're so young, but you've got very mature heads, which is only going to be beneficial for your athletes. I'm learning a lot from you already. I'd love to be a coach one day. I'm not in any rush right now. Seeing what you're doing, I'm in absolutely no rush. But it's just fascinating, and I'm sure Paul, you how long have you been a coach, Paul?
About 3 or 4 years now, I think.
And again, you're probably just from you. I think you probably know a lot of what Kieran and Ben have already said, but you probably learned a bit from them just in this little conversation we've had already.
Oh, very much. I very much think that, you know, as coaches, it's always about continuous professional development. So, you know, England Athletics will roll out kind of like, you know, a movement skills course or something along those lines. And I'll still go on them, even if I've been on the one previously, because I always think there's a little nugget you can take from each one of them, even if it's just a different way of approaching something with somebody or something along those lines. There's always something you can take from going on these courses and things like that. And likewise, talking to other coaches. And I'm really interested, actually, in the technology that they're using. So is it Final Search, you called it?
That's correct. Yeah, yes, Paul.
Yeah, because I tend to work with pen and paper. I'm really interested to hear different approaches like that.
Yeah.
I'll sit there with Jack Daniels running formula and think, right, okay, well, that's the paces that somebody should be doing that session at, and things like that. But yeah. If you can do it all through technology, that's even better.
To be fair, we're still quite old school, aren't we, Kieran?
Yeah, I mean, I'm writing paper. Yeah. We've got a paper diary, but we do the training on an app, yeah.
Yeah, you can't beat a good old notepad in there writing times down.
I think it's not just about the sessions and the science of the sessions. It's about how you get it across.
Mm.
How you make the athlete feel. I think that's almost more important than telling them what to do. Because you can tell them everything, but if they don't have the drive to do it, then they're not going to do it. So I think that's something we definitely focus on almost more of, is to inspire them. Yeah. I guess comes through our training as well.
I think it's that relationship building. I think relationship building is very important in coaching. Because at the end of the day, the athlete, you know, has got to trust you as well.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you've got to also, you do have to have that understanding of what makes them tick as an individual. Again, I've worked with vastly different personalities, and what works with one will not work with another, or what might encourage someone might not encourage the other. It's just having different drives and different motivations. But yeah, I think the relationship aspect to it all is probably more important than the actual components.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a fantastic point. How do you do that with so many athletes? How do you get to know them enough?
I think there's definitely a correlation between having more contact time and having almost more success. I think at the moment what we're doing, try and meet people at least twice a week if we can. Harder now. Often when we're in a full cycle of less restrictions than what we had, once we're back in the summer, we were seeing people 4 times a week. and then 3 times a week on Zoom, so it's every day. But 100 people every day, not quite every, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like across the week, you know. But for them, it's every day. Yeah, and we try and keep the social media going as well. I think that's important. In constant communication on email, on Messenger, WhatsApp individually. So yeah, it's a very much a full day for us interacting with everyone. And yeah, I guess in our heads, we try and manage where everyone's at and what they need at that moment in time.
Good point.
Yeah.
You've just touched on it there, your social media. You are very, very active on social media platforms. I've just made a little list. You do vlogs, weekly review, member highlights. Is there anything else that I've missed out that you do?
Yeah, I guess you try and tell the story of each day, really. I think that's what we're trying to do. Unless we're having a really busy day and something pops up. But yeah.
All the weather's bad.
Yeah, if it's raining, we can't afford it.
Yeah,
we try and tell the story so that people looking in, they might have a session later in the week. And if they can see their friends in the club having a good session out in the rain, and it might inspire them just to put a little bit more effort in, sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. That was actually my question, like, what's the thinking behind it? Because it does take a lot of effort to be active on social media. That's what I found anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's all right starting an official social media page, but to keep it active and keep members engaged, I think he's do a fantastic job.
Because see, you need to try and get a response off Corey off WhatsApp. You can wait for days. It's
terrible. Oh, tell me about it.
I'm a busy man.
Mr. Kieran Walker.
Oh, Kieran, are you feel like this as well?
I'm not great.
Too fair though, you do get loads of messages.
Yeah, I know. If you've got a busy day, you can get a backlog, can't you?
Yeah, some gym back to like June, July. Still hasn't been opened.
Yeah, we might have loads of potential members never really got set up.
Left in the wilderness.
I did a thing where I open it, read it. And then I get distracted for a split second, and I think I've replied to them.
Yeah.
And it could go like days, and I think, oh, that's fine. And then they reply back, or they put another message and be like, oh, I thought I replied to that. My bad.
I'm so glad you said that. I do that all the time. I get loads of grief. So.
Yeah, it's not being rude. I'm not being rude. I generally, mentally, I think I've replied, and I just haven't.
I just keep thinking you've blocked me, Corey. That's all.
Not yet, mate. Still needed for things.
The social media point, find ourselves at the moment because we have to use every minute so efficiently. So sometimes we're at the point where like we set an athlete off and we're putting a post out as they're doing the rep. That's literally what it is, because we just need every minute to be as efficient as possible. So just leaning on your point there about sometimes ignoring someone, not on purpose, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah, if we're doing a session, we might get 10 messages coming through. Then we've got another session straight after with no break. So, like, very difficult to manage, isn't it?
That's the thing, you reply 10 times and then you get 17 back. And it's like, how's that happened?
Yeah. Comes back to having a team, maybe, around what we do, and having people to manage different elements. We're trying to make things more efficient, like things like club kit and availability and booking session, things like that. We're trying to compartmentalize all that stuff into separate emails, and you know, I think communication is a massive point.
Yeah, good point. Now we developed ambassadors more towards the start of the year, but especially at the end of the year, we definitely really pushed that, and we've got like 12 to 14 ambassadors in the club, the most committed, determined individuals who, if we can't do something, they'll do it for us, and we trust them with our heart and soul. And after a Zoom session every month, we tend to have a regular meetup. We discuss possibly some issues in the club, what we want to improve on, what we want to make more efficient, if anyone's got any ideas. And we've also got two apprentice coaches as well, so it's not just me and Kieran doing the coaches. There's Carl and Iris, who are both learning. I mean, I was in Carl and Iris' shoes just three years ago. And I think we sort of want to push them on with the point of get them to do some coaching as well. You know, we tend to message them to say, right, look, this is a session we're doing on Zoom today. We're working on glutes, for example. Can you think of some exercises? So I guess their brain's ticking as well. Everyone's sort of pulling together. Yeah. I mean, Carl is probably the most committed individual I've ever seen. He's only 16.
I want to move on to probably the big word from last year, virtual, because of the restrictions. We, as a club, we've done plenty of virtual challenges, races, just within our members, but you have done it out there to get more people involved, not just your club members.
Yeah.
What's it like organising a virtual race, and and obviously you've done actual races, is there any difference, apart from obviously planning out the course and all that, is there any difference between the two of them?
I think when we've come to do virtual races, we try to make it a team element. With this dream team, we've got teams of four that have been randomised and seeded. So we're trying to make it competitive. I think you've got to make it as competitive as possible, because that's what racing's about, isn't it? And then, you know, you've got some accountability as well, and maybe a bit of pre-race nerves, and then you can go out. And if you do it at a set time, we're putting a set time on tomorrow's race. So everyone can start at the same time, even though not together. We're trying to make it as close to the race as possible, I guess. And that's important.
I don't think it ever matches a real life race, is it? But...
No, it can't. No.
No.
Have you got a World Cup draw for the seeding of the teams?
You did last night, Ben, didn't you?
Yeah, I did that last night. I just grabbed a fruit bowl from the kitchen and put names into a pot. No, but yeah, we're always trying to make things creative. And obviously, people are struggling in lockdown. There are a few people struggling with mental health issues. I've struggled myself as well. So obviously, it's important to be as positive as possible and just create these little fun opportunities. Just daft things like that. It was literally like a World Cup draw. It was quite fun. Yeah. And people were messaging saying, go Team 17, go yeah. Let's go that. So yeah, I guess it's just keeping everyone as positive as possible. And really
it's important. Targets, isn't it? Well, I mean, as coaches, if you can't have targets to aim for, it's very hard to coach people, to guide you. Yeah.
Good point.
So what's this one? You got the Dream Team 5K.
Yeah.
Well, Kieran keeps winning.
Is that because you got a better team, Kieran?
I don't know. This is anyone's game, this one. Very close.
The most frustrating thing is there's no point of it being fixed because I'm doing it. So if it was Kieran doing it and he was doing the teams, but I'm literally sat there and I'm the one picking them out, randomising. He's still winning every time. So he's not going to win tomorrow. He's not going to win.
We'll see.
We've done a draw live on our members page, and we've done the results as well. So yes. We at the beginning of lockdown, people just put the results, like this is my result, onto the page and like tagging whoever is running it. But this time we just sent the message direct to the person running it, so it was all like a little surprise at the end. Again, just mixing up like you lads have done.
I was going to say that I was watching your page the last couple of months. I mean, the club itself is absolutely fantastic with keeping people active. And there are a lot of clubs who have dropped off over lockdown and have let a lot of athletes down, but certainly on your side, you've all done really well. So I'll be impressed with that. I've enjoyed watching it.
Thanks. Well, it's a credit to the committee and the coaches. Paul, you've had to think of some virtual challenges, haven't you, mate?
Yeah, we've mixed them up a few. We've had a few competitive ones, so kind of like mile relays. So again, likewise, we've had teams of four, and each member of the team would go out and run their mile, and we'd compile and have a cumulative time for the team and such like. We've done things like that. We've had some fun challenges like treasure hunts, and I've enjoyed that one. Yeah, we did treasure hunts. I think we did some street scrabble as well, making words out of street signs and things like that. Just to, for those that maybe don't enjoy the competitive element, they can enjoy the fun element as well, and maybe take their phone out with them and take some photos themselves, take some selfies. So we have mixed it up, and I think we've done really, really well so far. I won't say that we're running out of ideas, but, we might have to recycle some of the ideas that we've had.
It must be frustrating for you all, like, I'm not going to lie, and especially we don't know what the next couple of months is going to look like. I mean, we've all got hope, but we just don't know what it's going to look like, isn't it? So it's important that you keep all your athletes engaged.
It is. And I mean, we've done things that, maybe away from running slightly, but we did a big question. We had that as a weekly thing, and the first one started off as what got you into running, but it created that dialogue on the Facebook group, sort of like with comments flying left, right and centre and things like that, and what was your favourite race, and again lots of members are commenting, and it just creates that engagement still throughout the club, which is a really important thing. And then this podcast was an offshoot of that as well, and that's got members engaged and things like that. So it's been a challenging time, but I think, as a club as Aircliffe, we've done quite well really with it. I'm very proud of what we've done, I think.
Yeah, I am proud as well. Just with the virtual races, I don't know how you organise it, but we just let the members just go out and just run the mile. Some people were choosing a slightly downhill route. One of the coaches
penalised Corey. They ended up being penalised.
Is that emphasis on the slightly?
Slightly, massively. Honestly,
I think I went to Kirk Merrington and ran all the way down.
Yeah, and that was steep. That is steep. But Richard Campbell, one of the coaches, had a fun idea. It's like whatever route you did for that mile, reverse it. So for some people, it didn't make it much of a difference. But for some people, it was a bit of a killer. But it just kept people on their toes, really, and kind of balanced out. Well, we just kept the same teams and balanced out. And the results were slightly different, wouldn't you say, Paul, the second time round?
They certainly were on the reverse relays, yes.
Yeah. You mentioned it before, workshops. You've done them in Hampsley Forest, Gisborough, Codbeck. You see, I've done my research. What goes into the workshops? Like, if I want to turn up to a workshop, what would my day be like?
Yeah, so it's almost like an expanded version of a session, really. We focus a lot on the technique work, so different drills that to improve the technique. The main session tends to be around either a route, either a tempo or like a mass sort of interval session. Sometimes a bit of a time trial and then some hill work and things like that. We tend to split it up with a focus session in the morning and then more of like a social, either like a longer run in the afternoon after a bit of a break. We try and throw a lot of science in there, a lot of theory in there as well, so it's not just practical. And we try and do some S&C and yoga as well. So it's almost like everything you would do in a week, put in a day, and we try and educate people. Not just from NEP, but from other clubs as well, come along for our own members. But it's overall a great day out. And before the restrictions, we could have a bit of a social afterwards as well. We'd all go for a pub meal and stuff like that. Really, really good, really good fun, wasn't it, Ben?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that the main point from our view is educating athletes as well, not just giving them the exercises to do, but also for them to know why. And that's something we definitely pulled out the last couple of months. It doesn't want to be just a sense of us telling them what to do. They want to be educated and learn why they're doing something, why they're just lunging down a random trail path without any idea of what they're doing or why they're doing it.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the key battle in physiotherapy is educating patients and kind of changing some of their long-term beliefs. I think that's the same with coaching, because with physio, they just think, I just need a massage and I'll be all right. I'm like, it is so much more to it than that. If it was,
I can imagine how many times you've told an athlete to do something, they've done the complete opposite, Corey.
Oh, yeah.
We've been there, haven't we?
Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but at the end of the day, it's their personal choice. I can only, as you do, provide them with some education or advice or whatever it is, and it's however they take it, it's down to them. We've covered quite a lot in terms of what you've been up to over the past couple of years, but I'm quite excited to know what your plans are for the future. Maybe get some exclusives.
Naughty, Corey, naughty. I like carrying on someone.
Yeah. I think 2020 was a big year for us. I think we're still going through a bit of a reflection of what we did. We never would have expected to be in this position a year ago. Completely different. And I guess we're trying to provide the best thing possible for our members. I think we want to focus on every individual as much as we can. So it's about setting the right team up and the right infrastructure around that for us to grow and for those members to grow. From an events side, we do want to set up some cool events and some bigger events. So last year, we did things like Coast to Coast and Cleveland Way Relays and some more focused 5K stuff. But we would like to set up some regular races we could set up throughout the year. And then that almost provides a base for our members to target as well. And some things that maybe aren't out there. And we haven't got anything exclusive in terms of events coming, but because we're not planning yet because we don't know what's going to happen. But certainly at the back end of the summer, we'd like to do something big. But yeah, we really want to focus on developing our members, bringing more science, more infrastructure in place in this project to helping people grow. So I guess where we're coming out into 2021 and to really get people into some high level in their own competition. So we've got athletes chasing the age group, GB vests outright. People want to win races. People want to win age group titles and sort of locally, local vests and cross-country, things like that. And for the club to compete at a high level and target and the big events, and also to probably race abroad next year. That'd be quite nice. And we would like to take our workshops to a training holiday next year. I think that'd be really good, especially being restricted for so long, not being able to go abroad. Mm. That'd be really cool. A trip to Kenya would be fantastic.
I was going
to
say, training camp in Iceland.
Yes. That has been in our head.
Yeah, that would be an experience, wouldn't it? Yeah, I think for me, it's just a sense of, you know, still progressing what we're doing, still learning what we're doing, because I think we're both still learning. Obviously, it's really, really progressed since March. So we've only been through this phase for 9 months, and sort of preparing for some sort of normality. I mean, obviously, all the mass participation races will be coming out. So at the moment, it's quite unique in what we're doing. Obviously, clubs are struggling to do one-to-ones, which is understandable, because for us, it's our full-time job. So we've got every hour of the day. So I guess it's sort of preparing of what life will look like in the next couple of months with everything coming back out. And then just giving it a real good go for every athlete as well. Everyone's got different targets, whether it's to run your first 5K, or as you say, get your GB vest. And it's not just a sense of, you know, it's all about targets. I mean, people have fun along the way as well. And I think that's one thing that I'd stress that some people have possibly said about us, that we're maybe too intense. We're definitely not. We sort for every athlete. Some people just want to get fit, and other people, as you say, want to target those GB races. And as long as they target the personalised training and they want to get stuck in, they're more happy to get involved.
Very excited to watch what happens in the next 12 months. And I'm hoping that we do come out of lockdown so they have the opportunities to put these plans into place, really. I'll be avidly watching on social media.
Yeah, I hope we get the chance soon. And hopefully we have a fantastic summer and put all this work to good use. And we can all get out there. That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
So are you looking forward to expanding your team then? Because you've spoken about how at times you're quite stretched.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something that we can try and make it happen as quick as possible. Especially the last few weeks, last couple of months, we've been making a lot of changes with our infrastructure. To allow us more time to coach and not do admin tasks, basically. That's what we want to focus on. And to focus on our own running as well, to get the opportunity ourselves to progress and get after it.
That's a great point, that we're only this age once. I mean, we're in the prime of our own athletic careers, and while we're trying to support everyone else, it's important that we don't neglect our own targets. I mean, Kieran, you're obviously going for the England GB team with the marathon, and I want to get that European win next year for the aquathlon, so there's two big goals for both of us as well. I think one thing from my point of view is our motivation is never low, because we've got so many athletes getting stuck in every single week. I mean, I don't know if you saw the photo of Amanda Waller running up Pinch and Thaw with the snow. I mean, you just look at photos like that, and it's just so motivational. And when you feel down and you look at those athletes who are giving it 110% every week and might not be having the greatest time in life, but they're taking the training to the absolute max level, it just shows no matter what age or ability you are, you're always capable of doing more than what you can. What do you think?
Yeah, I really agree with that, Ben. I've never been so motivated for so long. I don't think.
It gives me goosebumps every time.
Yeah, very good. Really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. I mean, we took the option of creating our own blog pages of our own personal training. And that was the idea of again, Lindsay, who set up her own blog page of her training. And then I set it up. And then Kieran set it up a month later. And honestly, no matter whether it's positive or negative, the amount of support we get from people, not just NEP, but the athletic community generally, is just absolutely fantastic. And it's nice to see that you've got that support behind you.
I've got one final question for both of you lads. Did you ever think when you first started it would get to it where you are now in terms of how big and what you're doing? Or did you always think it would just be quite casual, just group sessions like a couple of times a week?
In February, in March 2020, it was failing, really. We were pretty much ready to quit, to be honest. I did not expect to be in this position at all. It was hard work, really. There wasn't much happening. We didn't know what we wanted. We didn't know our target market. We didn't know what they're offering. Yeah, it was pretty rubbish back then. We've adapted to the times, and I guess it's paid off. I'm really happy and fortunate to be in this position, really, to express what we want to do and to push on.
Yeah. I mean, I remember working really, really hard before March, the last 6 months, working so hard to trying to get off the mark. And we were at the point where we hand out leaflets, weren't we, at Albert Park and Stewart's Park. I remember that. That was because that stuck with my mind. That start of January, February, we went to three park runs in a month. We handed out, must have been 700 leaflets to people at park runs for our first prep session the week after. And I remember turning up to the session in January, and not one person turned up, and I was absolutely devastated. And I got upset, and I drove home, and I was basically ready to quit. And then we just both stuck on it. I think our resilience, just keep going, keep going, keep going. And it's not just for running as well, but it's for any business, you know, because end of the day, obviously, it's a business. And we just never ever gave up. We've had our down moments, but we've always stuck together, and we've always pushed on. And it just shows you, if you don't give up on something, you can achieve greatness. And this is just the beginning of something new, isn't it?
This is just the beginning. What a way to finish.
This is just
this we'll is just there. The beginning.
We'll leave it there.
So it's been an absolute pleasure having you both on, lads. I will continue to keep tabs on any social media pages and what you're up to. And again, I mentioned before, it'd be great to have you on an individual basis. To everyone listening, I hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly have. We've got some more. I think we're planning about 6 or 7 episodes for this season with some external guests. I think that's going to be the theme of this season. And we've organised them already, and you're going to love them. So keep an eye out for that. Kieran and Ben, thank you very much for coming on.
No worries. I must say it's a fantastic podcast, lads. Yeah, it's fantastic. Keep up the great work. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, lads.
Thanks for joining us.